Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday, hearing from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Orioles-White Sox game postponed today, but they're going to play tomorrow afternoon at an empty ballpark. They made the announcement today that, for obvious reasons, tonight's game is postponed. With a curfew in effect in Baltimore tonight at 10 o'clock, you couldn't play a night game anyway because you don't want people spilling into the streets after the curfew hour. Number two, you don't want tens of thousands of people gathered in a certain area to begin with anyway. And so they postponed tonight's game. But they are going to play tomorrow, I believe, at 2:05. And when they do, they're going to play before an empty ballpark. No fans will be allowed in. Obviously, the game will be televised. So the White Sox broadcasters and the Orioles broadcasters will be there, radio as well, and executives. But it's going to be closed to the public tomorrow when they play. The riots last night in Baltimore obviously were devastating to the community after Freddie Gray was laid to rest yesterday after his funeral took place. When the schools let out, then they poured into the streets, and then it became a battle, as I think all of you have seen, against the Baltimore Police Department. But then it went way beyond even that. And, for example, I think everyone has now seen the CVS. It took a lot, from what I understand, for CVS to put a franchise into that neighborhood. It took a lot. And, of course, it was looted, it was burned. So all the people in the neighborhood that have their prescriptions there don't have a CVS to go to today. People that work there don't have a job right today. And I know when it comes to, for example, the baseball game, I always love when I hear, see, typical sports, it's number... No. Sports is a business. Just like CVS is a business. Just like the shop that was burned out across the street from CVS is a business. And the Orioles employ people. It's a business. So it's a business that had to, like other businesses in the area, had to postpone what they're doing today. So if you are a concessionaire and you were counting on this beautiful April day, a check tonight, you're not going to get it. If you are an usher, you're not going to get it. If you happen to be a vendor out on Utah Street, you're not going to get it. If you are a restaurant around the ballpark, you're not going to see it. It's a business like any other business. It is a business like any other business.
Nothing's going to happen tomorrow either.
No, for those people, it won't happen tomorrow. The teams will play just to keep themselves on a schedule. That'll happen. But what you're talking about is absolutely correct, Kevin. It's a business like anything else. People are trying to carve out their livelihoods. They're trying to carve out their livelihoods as they go. That's why I always love excuse me, okay? It's a business. People feed their families because they work. Now, is it any more important than any other business? No. But it happens to be because it is sports. We talk about it. Doesn't mean it's any more or less important. I always love when people try to diminish it. It is a business. And it's a business that is not just the business of baseball. There are a lot of businesses that surround it that benefit from the business of baseball or the business of football. That's always the convenient thing for the arrogant to do. I'm going to show everybody I'm better than everybody. I'm going to put down sports.
Oh, it's just sports.
Well, you better not do it on this show.
I can't imagine what this game's going to be like tomorrow with absolutely no fans. I mean,
I'm
just thinking, what's it going to sound like on the broadcast? Television, radio, I mean, you're going to be able to pick up literally everything that's said in the dugout, I would imagine.
No, you're far enough away. You might be able to hear, you'll hear the umpire. You might be able to hear a third base coach.
It's going to sound like a Little League game.
But, I mean, that doesn't really matter. Just playing the game to play the game. The other two games in the series, by the way, are going to be played, I think, in May.
No, I'm not making a judgment on the decision. I'm just from a standpoint of what it's going to be a very unique game is what I mean.
It'll be different. It'll be different. It'll seem like a Tampa Bay Rays game. All right, so like the old Expos. but they'll play. I mean, the White Sox haven't played since Sunday. They actually worked out at the ballpark today. So their three-game series this weekend will be in Baltimore. Instead, will be played at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg. Postponed games from Monday and Tuesday will be made up as a single admission doubleheader on May 28th, which I believe is an off day.
So that puts the Orioles on the road for 9 straight games.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, how many times you hear them being on 14-game road trips? When the ceiling tiles came down at the Kingdome, the Seattle Mariners played the last 2 months on the road. Scranton Wilkes-Barre Yankees spent an entire season on the road.
Yes, they did.
When they were rebuilding PNC Field at Lackawanna County Ballpark. That's making adjustments, just trying to keep your business on schedule as best you can. But I always love it. Oh, that's the most important thing is the ball game. No, the most important thing is not the ball game. Okay, but you have to have a big picture viewpoint in what is a short-term memory world. And looking at the big picture is not really a strong suit of a lot of people, unfortunately. And it's a business. And business is business. So like all the other businesses that have had to make adjustments, they're a business too. They just get more publicity for it. And they also have, there's no other business in the area that has 20 to 30, maybe 35, 40,000 people go through their door during the course of an evening. So it does make it different. And so for the vendors who are counting on X amount of dates out there on Utah Street, for the ushers who are counting on X amount of dates, the concessionaires counting on X amount of dates, all of them are now having to readjust their schedules as well. Restaurants around the area thought, okay, they were counting on, yeah, sure, they're going to do that. They'll figure in a rain out here and there. But it's, there's a domino effect that a ball club, for example, has in a downtown area. It's all, and there are two separate Baltimores. There's no question about that, just like there are two separate cities in many places. You go to downtown Los Angeles. I can remember going by the Staples Center, the Convention Center, and had something to do with the Marriott in downtown Los Angeles. Gorgeous, really nice area and so forth. But I've also been on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard going to Crenshaw High School in Watts. Two different LAs. No, there are two different Baltimores. Now, how does one make it one Baltimore? I mean, the two different Baltimores, what they did with the revitalization at Inner Harbor is tremendous, unbelievable. And it provided, by the way, a lot of jobs along the way, too. It did provide a lot of jobs, whether it's the aquarium, the hotels, the ballpark, the football stadium, the restaurants. I mean, more people are employed in the Inner Harbor area that were employed there 40 years ago because of the revitalization. But at the same time, you go out to the neighborhoods out there, and it's different. Now, how many people from those neighborhoods ended up benefiting from jobs in the downtown Inner Harbor area? I don't know. But all I know is that burning a CVS where people in your neighborhood are getting their prescriptions and people were working and providing the best they could for their particular families, I'm not really sure in the world of common sense that makes any. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The year was 1915. Thomas Edison was lighting up the countryside. Abigail Geisinger was starting a local hospital. Henry Ford was building the Model T. And J.O. Mertz founded the Sunbury Motor Company.
100 years later, Sunbury Motors has become the most established and recognizable Ford franchise in all of northeastern and central Pennsylvania. In 1915, Sunbury Motors had an inventory of around 10 vehicles. And today, there's over 500 to choose from. They had 2 employees then and almost 200 now. SMC continuously improved for you. Sunbury Motors has a complete service department with a separate diesel shop and quick lane for your convenience. A state-of-the-art body shop and frame and alignment shop, along with one of the largest Ford parts operations on the East Coast. In the past several years, Sunbury Motors has also added the full lineup of Lincoln and Hyundai vehicles. Everyone is welcome to become part of the SMC growing family. Sunbury Motors, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Thanks, J.O.
Justin posted on our Facebook page about DJ Newbill in the NBA draft. Obviously, he'll go through the pre-draft camps. He did extremely well at the Portsmouth Invitational. Extremely well. He impressed a lot of people at the Pit, which is a real starting point for a lot of guys trying to work their way through the draft process. And he went to the Portsmouth Invitational a few weeks ago and did extremely well. Now it's going to be a question to me as to how well he'll do in the pre-draft camps. And that's where he is. He's a power guard who's got a better shot now than he did 2 years ago because his outside shot has improved. And that does make a big difference. And so that's where DJ is to answer Justin's question from Facebook. Goonies star Corey Feldman is actually going to be at Medler Field at Lebronto Park in July. This is right up your alley. Yeah, we'll get some pictures of you and Corey Feldman together.
Let's see. Goonies, Gremlins. He was in The Burbs, Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Stand By Me. That was the one I was trying to think of that I couldn't.
Stand By Me? Yeah. So, July 19th, he'll be here.
He's actually 14 days older than me.
I'll ask him about that.
Please do.
See if it has any meaning to him whatsoever
just,
at all.
Just, you know, an observation. Just sharing.
14 days old. Oh, I forgot. You know, we never really talk about your birthday much in the air. You're always taking it off as if it's a real holiday.
It is to me. It may not be to anybody else.
I can guarantee you it isn't to anybody else. I was like, okay, fine.
I'm not sure if it's good news or not, but Dominic Brown, not happy about it, but he's going to AAA now that he's off the DL.
Good for him.
No, that's what I'm saying. Brown. I don't know if it is.
Well, and Antonio Brown's at Steeler camp.
Yeah, he got there yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, he was there yesterday. Today on the show, Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com, and Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com on the NFL Draft. That's all coming up on today's show. Looking forward to hearing from them. So, also talk a little bit about the draft Redskins as well. Marcus Mariota is going to go too. Yeah.
So he's going to go to the Titans.
Yeah, he's going to go too. I don't think they're trading him. I don't think they're trading him. How about that? All the speculation about everybody's going to, trade for it? No. And you know what? I think you have to, when you're Ken Whisenhunt, who, by the way, I think could do a great job with him. I think the Steelers miss Ken Whisenhunt.
I miss Ken Whisenhunt.
When I see him, I'll tell him you do.
Please do.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you come out and see Corey Feldman? That'd be good for you.
It's okay.
This would be good for you. The two of you could talk about the year you were born. The rest of us could leave the room.
It's okay.
I could bring it up to him. I think you'd be disappointed if he said, okay.
Well, that would be the explanation I would expect to get from him, or the answer I'd expect to get from him.
Well, he might be excited to meet you. Might be excited to meet you.
Be like a Chris Farley interview, though. Remember when you were in the Goonies? Yeah, that was awesome.
As the person who probably will interview him in the pregame show, I can guarantee you that will not be one of the questions.
Not going to be one of the questions. Okay.
No, I'm not really big on that. Like, hey, remember you like?
Remember when you used to wear sunglasses all the time? That was so cool.
Remember when you asked all those crazy questions on the air and the entire company got drug tested because of it? Oh, wait, that's you.
That never happened.
Yet. Ken Marangola is going to join us to talk about the Redskins and the draft next half hour. Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com today. I don't think I've looked at his mock draft. I don't think you're going to like where he went with the Steelers.
Yay.
The gang that can't shoot straight. Eagles, fine. Steelers, Phillies, no.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Recycling, huh? You know what recycling is, don't you?
Yeah.
Glorified garbage.
Oh, that's not... No, that's not what I was thinking.
That's what it is. It's glorified garbage. Tell me I'm wrong. All right.
Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com in the next half hour. And from HogsHaven.com, Ken Marangola joins us. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. How you doing today, man?
Doing really, really well. All right. Let's take a couple scenarios here with the Redskins. If they hold in the top 10, what direction should they go? And then we'll go with the next scenario.
All right. So if they hold, let's just say if they hold their pick at number 5, right?
Yep.
And not and do no trading at all?
No, don't trade it. They hold it.
Okay. If they hold it, then I'm going to say Leonard Williams, the defensive lineman at out of USC. Even though he picked up, the three defensive linemen, and we've kind of been spending our time and energy in free agency over there, I think Leonard Williams is a guy who played for us for a long time. He's got injury issues, but, you know, so does everybody who plays football, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, based on how you started that answer, it sounds to me like you expect them to trade down. Am I correct in that assumption?
You are correct, sir. I do. I really do. I think they're on the move. I think McLovin's not afraid to pick at number 5, and that's an important thing, because there's going to be a guy there who he'll pick and he'll play for us and be good pretty much right away. That player will be on the board and ready to be taken at number 5, and our guy does not have any fear of naming that person, writing that name on the card. But he wants more picks. He believes that he can pick the right guys with more picks. And so he's going to do everything in his power to acquire more picks. And that starts with trading number 5.
You get used to how certain people run their operation. He's new to this whole thing. So is it a little bit of a guessing game for you? How much research did you do on how he approaches such things?
Well, I mean, the research, thankfully, in this day and age is so easy, right? Because it's just out there. When he came into our organization, he came in with all these stories about what he did at San Francisco and what he did with Seattle. And you get a sense for who he is and what he's all about as far as picking guys. And so we do know that about him. We know he's a best player guy. We know he's a you can't have enough talent on your team guy. And so he's going to bring in talent, and he's not going to worry about what position they play necessarily, and where anyone wants to say we need a guy more than another spot. But his newness works for him in a different way, in my opinion, and that is there's a terrible phenomenon in the NFL, and it's probably been there forever, but front office guys, the heads, the general managers, the people in power, they get skittish. They're worried about taking risks, because taking risks gets you fired. And so what you see is, you talk about the trade value chart, and everyone's got to stay within like the trade value chart, otherwise someone lost and someone won, and the guy who lost is going to be automatically on the hot seat. And you see guys afraid to be, sometimes afraid of staying on a decision that they're going to get rocked for. I think in his honeymoon period with the Redskins, I think he has really a long leash. I think he can make a deal or two that people are going to say we didn't get the best side of, but he's going to do it because, maybe it's an extra fourth rounder, or maybe it's a third rounder next year. Maybe it's something that someone says it's just not enough to do the deal, but he's going to do it because he thinks he can pick the right guy in that slot, and he's gonna gamble on himself in a way that I think entrenched guys in this day and age don't do.
You mentioned being a best player available guy as opposed to a need guy. Where are the Redskins right now, in your opinion? Are they in a position where they take the best player available, or are there happen to be a checklist of needs that they must take care of?
Oh man, I'll tell you what, we got enough holes in our team that we can fill it at number 5 with just about anyone. It's a sad reality, and so it's a good thing for a guy like Scott, because he can he can say he's going best player available, but pretty much anyone he picks is going to start for us right away. I do think it's a luxury to be able to use your number one pick and a high pick at that on a need, because the top of the NFL draft has traditionally been so top heavy. The talent has been so obvious that you just, some guys you just got to take, and not taking best player available, that's also gotten people fired. So I think it's a good situation. The Redskins need guys all up and down the roster, and there's not going to be a single selection that he could make, including quarterback, that would put him in any kind of hot water, because we need talent.
Give me an idea of the input you think Jay Gruden will have in the pick, if any.
That's a great question, because I think he will have input, but I don't think it'll be in the same decision-making structure that's been, in the past. And I mean, this opens a huge can of worms, as I'm sure you know, with regard to the way the Redskins have, historically made their decisions with Snyder or Serato or any of the head coaches that have come through, and who has the final say and all that kind of stuff. I think it's a different, and until it's proven otherwise, I think the smart assumption is that Snyder still does have a say, and probably too much of one. I think Scott McLuhan is definitely, he's definitely got a firmer hand, in my opinion, and I think that he's going to listen to Jay Gruden. But one thing people need to remember is any NFL team that ever hires a new general manager, he's not just going to automatically get in bed with the head coach or any person in the organization right off the bat. Those are positions that general managers like to pick themselves. And I think that they're going to give Jay Gruden some leash and some room to operate and build this team and develop the talent. But I don't think Scott McLuhan feels at all, married to Jay Gruden. I think he's going to listen to him. Mm-hmm. But you've already heard McLovin say, he's not as though he doesn't want to do zone blocking. He doesn't want to do, some of the things that Jay Gruden has done in the past. He wants to kind of say, we're going to run right over people. He doesn't want a stretch play. He wants a between the tackles guy, running game. He wants to be a physical team. I think he's going to make his personnel decisions based on that. I think the style does, in many ways, match what Jay Gruden likes to do, because Jay Gruden also favors, especially on offense, physical, players, especially on the offensive line. It's less finesse. It's more about being strong and being physical. And so I think he'll have input, because I think on that line, they match up a little bit between the two of them.
Ken Marangola joining us from hoghaven.com. All right. RG3 has the option picked up. I'm not really sure from the outside looking in that they really had a lot of options, because you and I both know this is a league where quarterbacks knowing the speed of the game means something. Did you look at it that way? Look, all right, let's look around here. What are our options? And at the moment, he's the best option, right?
I don't know if he's the best option or not, to be honest with you. I thought to myself that I wouldn't have done what they did or what they planned to do on Monday, because I don't think that it costs them anything more. Let's say they don't exercise the option and he has a huge year where he stays healthy and he shows everybody why he was the number two pick, and he decides that he wants to play the holdout game or go for the super huge contract. My understanding is that the franchise tag that they would have to use if they wanted to keep him in that scenario, it would only be like $3 million or so over the $16 million that they're saying he can get. And so now they can cut him if he's healthy. They can cut him loose, but at the end of the season, without having to pay him that $16 million. But that issue for me is the manner in which it's guaranteed against injury. Now everyone gets hurt in this league, as we talked about a couple seconds ago, but that's been the problem with this particular player. And to make a $16 million bet that he's not going to get hurt, to me doesn't make a ton of sense. you know, but the whole idea behind this fifth year and the way that, why it was collectively bargaining, and it's an incentive for the player and the team to get together and figure something out before that year hits. And I think that it'll be in Griffin's best interests as well as the team's best interests next off season to put together some kind of an accord that's both more salary cap friendly for the team as well as gives the player, in this case, you know, injury prone or injurable, you know, quarterback, a little more security than a 1 year deal. And you know, it's a weird situation for everyone to have to be in. But it's kind of like, you know, in business management class, you know, they got, you know, a brand new boss comes into town, and he has to hand out raises, and how does he do it when he doesn't know anybody and he's never met him before? You know, they always say you go to the employees and you try to build up morale by empowering them. You know, and I think that's something that he's doing here. It is a risk and it is a big gamble, but on the other side of it, it's something that could pay off by giving Griffin just that little extra added bit of confidence, you know, and feeling that the team's behind him. And I mean, I'm stretching for that one, to be quite honest with you.
All right, well, then let's do something that yanks the rug of confidence out from underneath him. Would you be shocked if in the second or the third round, Bryce Petty, another Baylor guy, or Garrett Grayson were drafted?
I want Garrett Grayson. I think the third round, if you can get him in the third round, especially in our high pick in the third round, I think it's the right decision. And I even think that the move to exercise this option is being made so publicly and so kind of deliberately to kind of say, listen, hey, you know, Robert, we're behind you. We think you can be a good player. We've seen it. We're going to bet on you in this way. However, we can go into the draft and we can take care of this, you know, a development project like Garrett Grayson, who I think is a great decision for us to make. It's not going to put any immediate job insecurity on Griffin. I don't think anyone looks at him as coming in and taking anyone's job, but I think McLovin is absolutely going to take a quarterback, and I do think it's going to be in that third or fourth round area. I do.
Interesting. All right. Going into this, are the Redskins fans, who are as passionate a fan base as there is, have they really fallen back into that deep wait-and-see mode?
I've thought that so many times over the last 7 or 8 years. You know, the prove-it-to-me mode, that, you know, you say you want these guys to, mm-hmm. to show you something before you go all out and book your Super Bowl, you know, reservations. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we are there right now. But the NFL is such a weird, funny beast, and it just, there's a way in which the slate is wiped so clean in the off season, and things are, you know, are so fresh that there really is a belief from top to bottom in the league that any team can do it in any given year. It's so unhealthy and terrible. But I think it's true, and I think we're as guilty of it as anybody still.
Jen, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for dropping in, spending some time with us, and giving us some insight.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. And don't forget the McLovin era. And if there's every time when this fan base whenever there's a time to buy in for us to buy back in, I think it's now. I think this is the ground floor, something great. I do believe in this guy. I'm excited to see who he picks, both player-wise and in the future coach-wise. I think this organization has a real opportunity, if they let this man work, to get back to something that we can rightfully get excited about, you know, every single, you know, year.
I thought it was a great hire by them. I agree with you completely. Thanks so much for the time.
You got it, man. Have a great one. We'll talk soon.
All right. Ken Marangola from HogsHaven.com. Always a great guest to have on. Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com. Next half hour, you're going to love what he has in his mock draft about the Steelers. You're going to love it. It's a game changer to me. I think, well, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Redskins, they're victory.
Well, we'll see what they do. I mean, obviously, there's so many areas of need that they have. But, again, the single biggest need that they have deals with what do you do under center. If they get something out of Robert Griffin III, the dominoes will be impressive. It'll keep the defense off the field longer. It'll put less pressure on them to make plays. You've got playmakers like Morris and DeSean Jackson, Santana Moss. But it all starts with the guy throwing the football. It's where it all starts. The Redskins can make a move right up the ladder in the NFC East. No question. Number one, they have a last place schedule, which is a huge plus. But it's all going to depend on number 10. If number 10 performs well, the Redskins can quickly ascend the ladder and suddenly be an 8 or 9 win team. If he doesn't, then we're having the exact same conversation a year from now as to what they do with the 5th overall pick. I know, Kevin, you're saying that the word on the street, and you know, and you're constantly on the street, is the Browns are interested.
The Browns are interested, yes. And they have some picks there in that first round to work with. So
they have 2 picks, yes. They have 2 picks.
I thought it was interesting today, though, that the NFL analyst Mike Mayock from NFL.com and NFL Network has Marcus Mariota number 1 on his quarterback list, Winston 2, Bryce Petty a 3, and Hudlin from UCLA a 4.
Everybody has Bryce Petty at 3 right now because of how strong his arm is. Hundley would be 4. I would wait and take Garrett Grayson before I take either Hundley or Petty.
He has Grayson falling down a little bit and Mannion from Oregon State 5th.
Sean Mannion at Oregon State was somebody I kept waiting to break out and be really, really good. And I spent 4 years waiting for him to be really, really good. Every time I watched him, I felt, okay, you know, is this the breakout night? And I never saw it. Whenever I've watched Grayson, I've liked him. When I've watched Hundley, I've watched a guy who's been prone to making big plays and prone to making big mistakes and also prone to making eyebrow-raising judgments. When I watch Petty, I watch the total system guy where I have no idea what he could do in terms of pre-snap other than tell everybody what the snap count was. You know, and what's his progression on reads? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or just 1? I don't know. Grayson came up through a pro-style system and in the 3rd round would be a really, really good pick for some team.
Well, here it is. It's Tuesday, a couple of days before the draft. Is Winston, in your mind, a lock or what percentage
yes.
at number 1?
100. 100. They are not going anywhere else.
Rumor has it that there is a restaurant in Tampa that will offer a Winston free crab legs for life if he is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. A guy that will be making millions of dollars per year. Okay.
You read my mind.
I always find that stuff to be really interesting. Let me put you this way. If there's 5-finger discounts on food after signing a contract like that, then you really have made a huge draft mistake.